Some of you think the whole Bible, I can't do it. You don't have to. Just some of you have never read through the New Testament. Just say, I'm committing. I've read through the New Testament. I read through the Old Testament. I read through the Bible. I'm one of the persons who did it. But maybe next year you want to commit to doing that. And so we've separated it. You can check off, I want to read through the Old Testament, or I want to read through the New Testament, or I want to read through the entire Bible. We're going to take your email, and we're going to hold you accountable, okay? So, not in a negative way, but in a positive way, and when saying, hey, how are you doing? How are you keeping up? And so our goal is that every year we will get more and more people committed to reading through their Bible, all right? Now, in the past, and you're going to hear it in my sermon, we've given you a prize, a gift certificate to this or this and this. And I realized that's not the purpose of Christmas, right? To earn a prize for you. So here's what we're going to do. You read through the Old Testament or New Testament or the Bible this last year, $10 goes not to you. It's going to go to a charity. And right now I'm going to work with the English pastors on which charity that will go to. But it will be one that focuses on the Bible, the Gideons or Wycliffe. So when you read through the Bible, you are earning money for the kingdom of God so that other people will read through the Bible. Does that sound better? Okay, and I'll personally take you out to lunch if that's really what drives you and motivates you, okay? But right now, please sign up. Either you did read the Bible or you want to commit. We're going to have this out the next couple of weeks. You'll also see a Bible reading schedule that can help you to do it. There are so many online Bible programs. My wife has one she uses. Pick one, stick to it, and it will nag you to keep on track, right? So do that, and we're excited about what God's going to do in 2017 in terms of reading through your Bible. Now, once you open up your bulletins, on the left side is an outline. If you want to keep it, great. If you don't, that's cool. Just listen. You see the title, Christmas Bah Humbug. My daughter, who loves English, told me I got it backwards. You're supposed to do the question mark first and then the exclamation point. I don't know. So anyway, you get the point. Now, for those of you who made it to last week's Sunday combined services, you witness us doing a Chinese Christmas carol. Charles Dickens' classic has been made into at least a dozen different movies, starring men such as George C. Scott, Albert Finney, Patrick Swayze, even Mickey Mouse, Mr. Scrooge have all played the role of Ebenezer Scrooge. And if you were here last week, you saw yours truly as the Asian version of Ebenezer Scrooge. Now, some of you said, well, I've never watched the movie, I've never read Charles Dickens' book, so let me tell you a little bit about it if you don't know. Ebenezer Scrooge, it centers on this miser, a self-focused, sad, lonely old man whose only friend is the money that he's made through the years that he will spend on nobody else. And everyone and anything that has to do with Christmas brings out this haughty retort, bah, humbug. But all that changes one night, when on Christmas Eve he is visited by three Christmas spirits, the ghost of Christmas past, present, and future. And through the journeys they take him on, he gains a perspective on how he became this wretched, cynical miser. You know what's so cool about that baby crying? I came here 23 years ago, and the father of that baby was like this tall. So if you're around, and he was weird. He came up to me before the service. He says, where's the crying room? And I'm like, whoa, you were only 8 years old when I first met you, and now you're asking where the crying room is. Isn't that cool? Praise God for babies. Amen? Amen. So he gains this perspective, and he has a choice to make at the end of the coming of these three spirits, to live the same old miserly way that he has, or to become a new, joyful, generous man. Now, even though I played Scrooge last week, that is not my true personality. I know those of you who know me, I'm a very happy guy. I'm pretty positive. I tend to see the bright side of everything. For example, someone said to me, oh, Pastor, are you coming down with a cold? And I said, yeah, I'm coming down with a cold. And they said, oh, that's too bad. I said, no, at least it's not pneumonia. You know? Pastor, you have the stomach flu. That's terrible. I said, no, I can lose some weight during this time. So I tend to look at life very positively. But as I was practicing the lines for Scrooge the last few weeks, I couldn't help but let the dark, sour side of his personality come out in me. And yes, I want to see life as a happily ever after, but I also love to read news. And if you read the headlines in newspapers, online news, lead stories on TV, even this idea of fake news you've been reading about, it's hard not to be pessimistic. You know what I'm saying? In fact, I dare say it's impossible not to be. And yet, in the midst of the difficulties of our lives, the world for one moment cries out, it's Christmas time. It's a time for family. It's a time for sharing. It's a time of peace. Family, sharing peace. Is that what Christmas is all about? Is it truly? This morning, at the beginning of the sermon, I'm going to play devil's advocate and be like Scrooge and evaluate Christmas as a time of family, sharing, and peace. Let's first look at Christmas as a time of family. As we say, of course, Christmas is a time for family, and Christmas and family go together like this painting, Norman Rockwell. Christmas is a time for loved ones to sing carols, right, in the living room, to decorate the Christmas tree together and while enjoying a cup of hot cocoa around a roaring fire. Christmas is a time for family members to gather at the banqueting table, covered with festive red or white cloth and scented candles, and Dad says a blessing over the family meal and we eat like pigs. And Christmas is a time for toddlers bouncing on Grandpa's knees and Mom and Grandma busily cooking in the kitchen, little Johnny working on his new Lego project. Is that the way it is for your family? No. Probably not. As we've come into the 21st century, let's do a reality check on the American family. First, the idea of Mom and Dad together in one home is not as prevalent as it was during this time. Because most marriages, 50% or more of marriages end up in divorce, and there's a lot of times when there's a likelihood that a woman will be the lone head of that household. And that means that she's working long hours, not wanting to busy herself in the kitchen. In some of these families, if Johnny wants to be with Dad, he gets visitation rights every other weekend. And Dad, of course, is glad to see Johnny, but absolutely has no relationship with him. And so he bribes him with a ton of gifts and tells him he wants to be his pal. But unfortunately, Johnny has enough friends. He wants a dad. Those families where Dad and Mom are in the home, all Christmas does is, I don't know, I feel it, put pressure on us. Finals come, and we have to nag the kids in the middle of December to focus on your studies, focus on your studies. Deadlines to make it work before you have to go on a mandatory vacation that they're not paying you for, trying to keep the kids from not being bored during the Christmas break. Now take a look at this. Am I painting a really bad picture, right? Take a look at this picture right here. There's a couple of other disconnects as well. Nope, Grandma and Grandpa right up there in the front, right? They're the ones serving the turkey. You know what? That's not much of a reality because most senior citizens don't live near their parents. I mean, live near their children. Most grandparents don't, When some of you, your grandparents or your parents live in Asia. So you might see them via Skype or FaceTime, but it's not the same. As to the aunties and uncles sitting at the table, that's also a dream because the idea of extended relatives living in the same town and community went the way of the dinosaurs. For example, my family, all my relatives live in California. All Kathy's brother and sister live on the East Coast. So this idea of families being together isn't necessarily true. Sure, Grandma and Grandpa and Mom and Dad and Johnny and Susie all desire to be together as a family at Christmas time, but the reality is of life in America that none of these family members can afford the time, the money, the energy to make it happen. So Christmas is a time of families? Bah, humbug. It doesn't exist. How about this? Christmas is a time of sharing. Ooh. Jesus himself said that we will always have the poor. And constantly we're reminded of this during the holiday season. And unlike what many people might tell you, the economy really has been anemic for the last 5 years, virtually no growth. America's homeless population hovers around 2.5-3 million people, 54% of them being families. Pressure is placed on us to give at this time. And so when you and I go to the store, the Salvation Army rings at the store entrance telling us to give us our change. The blood banks want your blood. And nonprofit organizations send tons of mailers and emails soliciting your tax-deductible donation. And the focus of all this is to open up our wallets, our pantries, our veins, to give before January 1st. And why is that? Because after January 1st, somehow we forget about giving and the generosity starts. And when we really think about it, rather than giving, this tends to be more of the focus of Christmas for us. Do you know, I read some statistics. We spent $9.4 billion on internet sales on Thanksgiving alone. Not even Black Friday, just Thanksgiving alone. 16% greater than last year. Retailers will entice us through deferred credit and free shipping and free gift wrap, additional percent off coupons, no tax, sales tax. And you know, I thought about all this stuff that we buy. You know who comes out winning in the end? China. Yeah. I find it ironic that there's this cry by Christians to put Christmas back into the marketplace. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's a Christmas tree, not a holiday tree. It's Christmas vacation, not winter vacation. It's Merry Christmas, not season's greeting. And I was thinking to myself, yeah, those are all good, but when we think about this, does it really matter? I think it's ironic, and we talked about it before in the last few weeks. It's Jesus' birthday, right? Well, what do when a person has a birthday? We give them gifts. Instead of giving Jesus a gift on his birthday, what do? We buy a gift for ourselves. And think about the irony of this. I just thought about this last week. The reason why we're generous with giving away our items right now to charity is because we were generous to ourselves in the past. Think about it. All they're doing, the charities, are taking our old junk that we simply bought in the past, and we're replacing it with new junk. That's what our rampant consumerism does. We spend more than we make. The average American, the American Bankers Association notes that 43% of credit card owners carry a balance. Now, being Asians, you probably don't do that as much, but you still have that mass consumption. The average debt of an American is well over $5,000. We don't want to overspend, but let's face it, the things that we want are kind of expensive, right? I begged my wife to replace our TV with a 55-inch flat screen 4K smart TV. And she was gracious. I said, honey, that can be my combination birthday and Christmas present, you know? And she let me buy it. Of course, I said, but it's for the whole family because everybody can watch, right? And then I came back with her. We were walking through Costco a week or so ago, and I saw this Samsung 40-inch flat screen 1080 smart TV for $229. And I said, honey, that could replace our perfectly good 42-inch that's in our room right now. Why would I need another 40-inch flat screen? Because it's smart. The one we have right now is dumb. And I can get a smart one for $229. That's a great deal, right? So we just buy, and we don't even think about it. Jewelry and cruises. So in summary, although Christmas is a time of giving, if it happens, it's short-lived because we're too busy spending time and money on ourselves. So Christmas is a time of families isn't real. Christmas is a time of sharing is not happening. What about Christmas as a time of peace? Way back when I was a young man, no, I was a teenager, there was a Korean War comedy movie called MASH. You remember that? You older people, MASH. one of the longest-running TV shows. It ran from 1971 to 1983. But its last episode was entitled Goodbye, Farewell, and Amen, and it aired in February of 1983. That's a long time ago, right? There was this one memorable and profound scene where there is a barrage of bombs being hurled around this camp where they're trying to do surgery. And the surgeons and nurses are feverishly trying to sew up patients amidst the chaos of bullets flying and missiles exploding. And politicians halfway around the world are working on impending armistice. And suddenly over the camp loudspeaker, the camp clerk says, "In 5 seconds, you will hear the sound of peace." And the bombs are crammed. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And all of a sudden there's silence. No bombs, no missiles, no bullets. It's a sound of peaceful silence. And the war is over. It's kind of memorable for me because my dad actually served in the Korean War. 33 years later, 1983, and that even was a long time ago, people were still praying for a time of peace. But you know what, friends? There is no time of peace. Think of the birth of Jesus. It was violent then. What did Herod want to do? Kill the baby. And so for the last 2,000 years, there's always been this idea of killing. I subscribe to National Geographic. I'm painting a really bad picture. It's going to turn positive in the end. Okay. We subscribed to National Geographic, and there was an article in there about the history of genocide, the mass slaughter of people. You know, I'm proud to be Chinese, but I also took Chinese history in college. And you can talk about genocide all you want, but Chinese are really good at genocide, okay? I mean, when the Ming... The Tang fell to the Ming, tens of millions of people died. When the Ming fell to the Qing, tens of millions of people died. And under Mao Zedong, tens of millions of people died. But it's said that in the last century, the 20th century, it was the greatest slaughter of people in the history of mankind. Stalin, Hitler, Mao Zedong, Pol Pot, Rwanda, Saddam Hussein, didn't matter. You add it up, 150, 200 million people killed. Today we have ISIS as an Islamic terror group causing chaos and an unstable dictator in North Korea among all the other things of the world that make it very uncomfortable where we're at. And it's not just about not having peace around the world. In our own nation, in our own communities, there's no peace. I mean, this nation's arguing whether black lives matter, blue lives matter, all lives matter. In our staff, we've been talking about in this congregation how many car accidents there have been among you all. Some serious, serious accidents. And even in my nice neighborhood, one year I put up some nice Christmas decorations. The next morning they were gone. I mean, what's up with that, you know? We have a nice park 2 blocks away from our house. We don't let our kids walk to that park. Do you? This is a time of peace. So we desire peace, we desire sharing, we desire family. If we're honest, it's just not there. And you and I are Christian, we are Christ followers, and it's Christmas time. And yet if I think about it and let it get to me, maybe Scrooge is right. Bah humbug. Have I brought you to the lowest point yet? But that's not how it ends. Because the Spirit of God, in a soft whisper, barely audible, desires to comfort us. And He whispers into our heart, "No, Scrooge is wrong. Christmas does matter." Like many of you, I've grown up watching Christmas specials. When these kids watch them, I said, I was that age, your age, when these first came out. Some of my favorites... Santa Claus is Coming to Town, ho, ho, ho. Rudolph, the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Ah, ha, ha, ha. How the Grinch Stole Christmas. But you know what? Of all these old Christmas specials, my favorite is this one, A Charlie Brown Christmas. Do you realize a few years ago it celebrated its 50th anniversary? And I remember when it first came out. That tells you how old I am. Just stinking old. But even 53, 4 years ago, the country was asking the same question we ask today. What's Christmas all about? Remember that? For the Peanuts gang was finding the perfect Christmas tree, and the perfect Christmas tree is artificial. For Snoopy, it's winning the what? Decoration contest, right? For Lucy, what? It's about involvement. It's about gifts for pretty girls. And Sally, Charlie Brown's younger sister, says it's about what's coming to her. And so in all this craziness, Charlie is confused. He's like saying, can anybody tell me what Christmas is all about? And those of you who've watched it know the answer. Linus has the answer, or he has found the answer. Can we show the video? Can I do it? Let's see if it comes up. Does it work? Am I controlling it? There it is.
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Okay. Hope none of you carrying a blanket around still, like Linus. Yeah. You know what's interesting? Charles Schulz, who created Peanuts, actually hated that special when he created it. He hated it. He said, the idea of jazz music being used for a kid's special is crazy, and he thought it was maybe too religious. And yet what's interesting is this, of all, the Christmas special endures more than anything else. It's interesting, but the answer to all of our present problems, think about this, friends, is a 2,000-year-old solution. And so easy to be cynical, to mock those who say, hey, everything is great. But may I submit to you that those who seem to have joy, in spite of no family, no sharing in peace, have it because of the birth of Jesus and ultimately the death that came for all of mankind. Bible says that you and I all inherited the sickness called sin. And in our disease, we felt pain, incapacity, hopelessness. And then Jesus was born in that stable so long ago, and the reconciliation of mankind began. And so for you and I who are Christ followers, with the birth of Christ comes hope. And like the rebirth of Ebenezer Scrooge, so too when we embrace the Christmas message, friends, we are reborn, the Bible says. Is Christmas a celebration? Yes, it is a celebration. Ooh, let's go past this, please. Thank you. It's a time for family. 1 John 3:1 says this. It does. There it is. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what you and I are. You You see, for those of us who have embraced the Christ child, we are now part of the family of God. We have been adopted from the father of death, who is Satan, and by the father of life, who is our heavenly Father. And you know what that means? That means that all of us are brothers and sisters in Christ. And as a family, you know what? I have witnessed the love that each of you has for others. I have seen you caring for the sick, visiting them in the hospitals, praying for them, celebrating a new birth, bringing food over to those who have needs, offering rides and hugs. So really, friends, Christmas is a time for family because we are the family of God. What about Christmas as a time for sharing? My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. See, friends, because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we have the supernatural ability to not only serve others in the body of Christ, but to look to the people outside of the body of Christ to serve them. And you know, the many years I've been in the church, I've seen over and over how all of you continue to share your lives. You give up your limited vacation and travel time to go overseas on a short-term mission. You pledge year in, year out, this year up to 170,000. I believe you got another week to make more pledge for missions, that we are reaching out to those people in the lost world. We're feeding the homeless, thank God. Pastor Jerry in the college and young adult ministry, going to Tempe Town Lake, raising money for women in crisis, Patchwork Sisters doing a blanket making event, Goodness Fellowship making homeless care packages, sharing our faith and our lives for the sake of the gospel, giving of your time and your money and your energy to love others. Yes, Christmas is a time of sharing, and we are sharing. And through this next year, friends, I want to encourage you. Our staff has talked about that. There are great things happening in this church. You just are not hearing the testimonies. And we want to encourage you with these things that God is doing through your lives. So family sharing, what about time of peace? Jesus says this, John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. And do not be afraid." See, according to this verse, if you look carefully, the world does offer you a kind of peace. But as we see in the message, it's not much of a peace. Christ offers us unconditional peace. He offers us a chance to be in harmony with others, with our spouses and our children and our parents and our bosses and our coworkers and our neighbors. But mostly he offers us peace with our Heavenly Father. So, it's not a bah humbug. Praise God. Christmas, this day, is a time for us to celebrate the sharing with our to celebrate families and sharing and peace. And that's what we want to go with that message, go out to this world. My in-laws live in the retired community, Sun Lakes, and they have this little lake. And I don't know if they're required to do it, but every home around this lake is decorated to the max. And we go walk around this lake. It's only 3 blocks or so long. It's beautiful. And every year we've gone back, and there's this one house I remember had this beautiful manger scene. And the kids, they shouldn't have done it, but they run up on the lawn to go look closely at the manger scene. And surprisingly, Jesus is missing. You know, every year Jesus is missing. And I was thinking about that as a metaphor for our lives. You know, everything can look beautiful. Everything can be, you know, just sparkly and shiny. But if Jesus is missing, then it doesn't really matter. You know what I'm saying? So remember, let's put Christ back in Christmas. Let's celebrate today. After this service is over, be with your family. Be with your friends. Enjoy the time. Sing some Christmas carols. Eat some food if you have to. And enjoy it. And I thank God that we have this special time of the year. But Christmas doesn't have to end now. We can go on and continue to be family and continue to share and continue to bring about peace to the world. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time, and I thank you for your people. Yes, we can get caught up in the commercialism of it all, Lord, but in the craziness that we call Christmas in America, Lord, it still is focused on that little baby born 2,000 years ago. Thank you, Father, for bringing the Lord Jesus to earth, for having him live a life that we lived, for having him experience the pain that we feel, and yet he didn't sin like we do. And thank you for ultimately having him go to the cross to die for our sins. Before we close, I want to just make sure, on this Christmas morning, 2016, is there anyone in this room who says, you know what, I know the Christmas message, but I have not personally embraced it. I have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior ever before, but this morning I want to do it. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to be forgiven for my sins. If that is your heart, I want to pray for you right now. Just raise your hand to the Lord, and I want to pray for you. Anybody here this morning want to say, I want to accept Jesus Christ? Yes, I see that little hand over there. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Anyone else? You know, I was praying this morning, and God was laying on my heart that we have to come as little children. I praise God for these two little ones who raise their hand. There may be an older one. Give you one more chance. Raise your hand to the Lord. I want to pray for you right now. Okay, you little ones, listen to my prayer. You pray it to yourself along with me, all right? This is what we're going to pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for being with me this morning. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I do wrong things. I think wrong thoughts. But I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior so that I can be forgiven of my sins. And to the best of my ability, under the power of the Holy Spirit, I want to live for you. And we all thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you made that prayer...